Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion of the beginning of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
Abraham, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of His Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I had among the other Gentiles. And we considered that salutation last week, and we go on to verse 14 through 17 today. I am debtor, or obligated, both to Greeks and barbarians or non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am ready to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now in verses 14 to 16, we have three famous I ams of Paul, where he says, I am debtor and I am ready and I am not ashamed of the gospel. In thinking about Paul saying, I am debtor, I think that he means that he sees himself as a steward of the gospel. A steward is one who has been placed in charge of something, and we usually associate stewardship with giving money to the Lord's work, and that's right. But stewardship covers all of life. We are stewards of life. The life that we have was given to us by God, and we are responsible for that life. And we have been given the gospel, the truth of God. And in a sense, then, we are responsible to dispense that gospel. That's why he says, I am steward. And then in verse 15, he says, I am ready. And he uses a term saying, as much as is in me, I am ready. Now, you can't say it any stronger than that. You can't look at any greater zeal than that. When Paul says, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel in Rome. And then thirdly, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, here's a very strange term that Paul brings up when he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, why would the apostle need to say something like that? It seems rather unnecessary until we consider the kind of opposition to the gospel that Paul faced and the kind of things that he had been through in his faith in the gospel. And if you need to be reminded of that when you get home today, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul goes through what he had experienced because of the gospel, having been shipwrecked 3 times and beaten with a whip 3 times and suffering hunger and thirst and in prison and all that he went through. And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he says that because Christianity is not acceptable. It was not acceptable in Jerusalem. It was not acceptable in Asia Minor. It's not acceptable in Rome. Now, somebody went to Rome and established this church, and so there are Christians there, and God is calling out His elect. But Christianity is not socially acceptable. It's not the thing to do, to be a Christian. In fact, it's rather scandalous to become a Christian in that day. Certainly not the way to win friends and influence people. Christianity is associated with persecution, with ridicule, with laughter, with contempt, anger, and hatred. To be despised, to be thought very foolish and less than intellectual by some. Now, how about our day? How about the gospel in our day? And for us to apply that this morning and to be able to say with Paul, I am debtor, and I am ready, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. Do you fear ridicule anywhere? On the campus, in the office, on your job? Laughter? Yes, we do. We have all of these things going for us, and it's very important today that we understand that we do not need to be ashamed of the gospel. And thank the Lord for Paul, who was able to say this and explain this to us, that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And in our day, even though Jesus Christ is a curse word and the gospel is ridiculed, we must not be ashamed. Paul is not ashamed before anybody. He'd say, I've been before kings with this gospel. And I've stood before governors with this gospel. And I'm going right into the middle of Rome, this pagan society of emperor worship, with the gospel, and I'm not ashamed to do so. Now, in this passage of Scripture, he gives us 4 or 5 reasons why he is not ashamed of the gospel. And knowing these reasons will help us in our day not to be ashamed of the gospel. He says, first of all, I am not ashamed of the gospel because of the author of the gospel. And some translations will read, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not all the manuscripts have of Christ, but if we look at verse 1, it's enough for us to know that the author of the gospel is God, because Paul says, I'm a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The author of the gospel is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we think about that, the truth of salvation and the content of the gospel, we need to think in terms of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What did the Father do in terms of the gospel? Well, He has an election of people. He is the one who has chosen before the foundation of the world, as was prayed this morning, a people for Himself. What did Christ the Son do? Well, He redeemed us by His sacrifice on the cross. What did the Holy Spirit do? He regenerated us and called us and created faith in us. So when we talk about the gospel of God, we're talking about the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Our God, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming grace of the Son, and the effectual calling of God's Holy Spirit. And the word of becomes all important. When Jesus was on earth, he talked about the gospel of the kingdom. And the word of, in that sense, meant, I'm telling you the message about the kingdom. When it's used here and we think of it as the gospel of God, it's in a sense that reveals possession. That it's from God. It's out of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God because the origin is in God. It's coming out of Him. It belongs to Him. And this is important for Paul to say because he's saying, this message is not mine. I didn't think of this. I didn't think of this salvation plan. It doesn't come from me, folks. Now, why is it important for Paul to say this? Well, it's important because Paul is known as a very, very learned man. Everybody knows about his education. And everybody's acquainted with the former philosophers who lived, Plato and all of them. And it's very important because it's normally said that Paul had earned the equivalent of 2 PhDs by the time he's 21. And he is considered the most learned man of his day, maybe in all the world. And so Paul is going to say, I'm not coming here to Rome to try to display my degrees or my philosophical ability or with something I thought of. I'm coming to Rome with the gospel of Christ. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the author. And Paul is able to say that because he knew Christ personally. And he's not ashamed of Him, wherever He is, whether it's in the marketplace in Athens or on Mars Hill or in the center of pagan Rome, the center of power, the most powerful place on earth at the moment. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You and I must get to Christ. And sometimes we can be outdone by the world around us because we don't really get to Christ. Some people only get to church. Some people only get to Bible studies. Some people only get in on the social elements of the Christian life. Some never really get to Christ. Don't settle for anything less than that this morning. Don't get in on just the peripheral things of Christianity. Get to know Christ personally. If you have no Christ, you have no Savior. And if you have no Savior, you have no gospel. And we need to join Paul in saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the author of the gospel. And then Paul was able to say that secondly because of the aim of the gospel. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. The aim and the purpose of the gospel is unto salvation. You can't talk about anything more important than salvation. And Paul says this because he knows something of the Roman world and the leaders and what their emphasis was. Now, what was the emphasis of Roman life? The thing that the Romans were interested in were all the externals of life. They had power, they had commerce, they had money, they had military power, and everything was on the external success of man, the outer man. They were desperately involved with education and science and social and recreational matters. And Rome is not unlike us. We live in a world desperately involved with education, science, social matters, recreation, the body, the external things, and a little attention to the soul. Think how much time a person can spend in a lifetime on these external things with the neglect of the matter of salvation and eternal destiny. Now, Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel because the purpose of the gospel is for salvation. The gospel deals with real values, eternal things. Eternal destiny is in the gospel. Spiritual truth, food for the soul, the forgiveness of sin, the pardon, salvation. And on your outline, there you have something in regard to salvation. I thought it was so important we should look at this together and understand salvation. First of all, in the negative thought about it, what we are saved from or rescued from. And when we think about salvation, we are first of all rescued from sin's guilt. What a terrible thing it is to be under the burden of guilt and to have that finally relieved. And as you read the book Pilgrim's Progress, to see that heavy load came off his back, to be relieved of guilt. That's what the gospel does. That's what salvation does. Not only relieved from sin's guilt, but its corruption. We who have sinned are polluted with sin. It penetrates our mind and our heart, our affections and our will, and we are corrupt in our total being. And salvation removes that. Salvation removes slavery. The Bible says in Romans, we are slaves to sin, to Satan, to the world. Also, salvation rescues us from the punishment of sin, separation from God, and the wrath of God, and everlasting death. Now, on the positive side, salvation brings us into a condition or a state of righteousness whereby we are declared righteous. We are legally out from under the condemnation and the curse of the law. We have received a full and complete pardon so that our judgment and our trial is over. The other day we were talking about, I think it might have been in regard to Tammy and Kelly's tests and so on, in regard to practice teaching, and talking about final exams. And then the thought that for us who believe, our final exam is already ended, already taken care of, already settled. We've passed, and we pass by the merit of Jesus Christ, and His grade is our grade. Isn't that great? What do you think He got? What's above A+? That's your grade. That's where you are in salvation. Then there's a freedom. We are set free, and we are blessed with fellowship with God, the love of God upon us, everlasting life. How can we neglect so great salvation? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is unto salvation. And I think it would serve us well in our day to consider more fully and intensely the dreadful condition of the lost. Let me encourage you to make a Bible study of the word hell and get a concordance and go through it and take every word that refers to hell. Look at it. See who said the most about it. It was our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a reality. Now, we don't think about that in our day, and we don't like to think about it, and we don't hear much about it because it isn't pleasant. It just isn't pleasant. It is not entertaining. But it's real, and we'd better think it through. It's a reality. To be separated from God forever. And I don't know if you want to think of it as a literal lake of fire or not. But the truth is that if God wants to create a lake of fire, He's already shown us He can do it. If you saw pictures recently of the volcano in Hawaii and the way that molten lava flowed over the land, it was a literal lake of fire. You apply that to the torment of being under the wrath of God forever. And there are people that we know who are facing that. Who are they? Well, they're mothers and fathers, and grandfathers and grandmothers and children. Those are the people. We need to know about that. And we need not be ashamed of our gospel, because it delivers from that and brings salvation. Thirdly, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because of the ability of the gospel. He says, it is the power of God. Don't be ashamed of this message, this truth. It's the power of God. The power of God is in the content of the gospel of Christ. That's the great thing. And many of you already know that the word he uses here is the word that is associated with dynamite. It is the dunamis, or the dynamite of God. It's very important that Paul comes here to say that, because he's coming to power-centered Rome. The Romans are all infested with pride in their own power. They think they rule the world forever. They think they are above God, and they are involved in emperor worship. They've got their own thing going, and Paul just wipes them out when he comes to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. The gospel breaks up sin. The gospel has the power to remove sin and the power to overcome. The power of God is in the gospel. The gospel changes lives, changes hearts. It converts, which brings about a change and helps us in our life in a very practical way. It gives us new values. And then you and I are all bothered with anger, with bad moods, with a sour disposition, very poor attitudes. We're all very selfish. We all have bitterness. All this needs changing. And the gospel has the power to bring about practical changes so that we are growing. It breaks up sin in our life and helps us to control this terrible pride and selfishness that grips our life and enables us to live with others. What's wrong with relationships? What's wrong with relationships is our selfishness. And when we can give up being selfish, we can get along with each other and we can love each other as we should. And this is the hope of the gospel, changes lives. And every one of us here this morning can think of people where we've seen that literally happen, and there ought to be a sense in our own life this morning that we are growing. Now, one of the things that I want to be careful about in conveying and talking about this is that we think that being a Christian is some kind of super thing, some kind of magic thing. That, no, it's just the reality of being a person who worships God and experiences the power of His Word bringing about some change. We're in the process. And I think we said last week that Romans is called the road of grace. And we are all on that road somewhere. And we need to be very careful with each other that we don't put expectations of perfection on each other, but just to be thankful that we are on the road and we help each other. Now, this is a great text, a marvelous Word of God. To think about the opportunity that the power of God is in the gospel and can bring about change, and you and I don't have to wallow in the same kind of circumstance we're always in. There is hope for change. Praise the Lord for that. A fresh, refreshing, transforming opportunity through this Word of grace. The gospel message is powerful. It will do the job. Now, one of the temptations in our day in seminaries and in church life is to change the message. You get discouraged about society and about things that are happening in our own life, and we change the message. And some people say, well, we have to change the message to meet the culture of our day. Or we have to change the message to meet this 20th century society. No, we don't. We better not tamper with this message. This message of the gospel that God gives us will do the job. Nothing else will do the job. And we need to trust in this word and rely upon it and not tamper with it and not think that we have to rely on programs, organizations, committees, or promotion. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Let's believe it and use it. Now, fourthly, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the appeal of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and to the Gentile. You think about that. To everyone who believes. And when we read about a scene in heaven in the book of Revelation, it says that they're gathered there to worship God, some from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. God has His elect all over the world. And the gospel is not limited geographically. It is not limited nationally, nor socially, nor culturally, nor physically, nor financially, nor emotionally, nor in any way. And we just think of us here this morning, whom God has saved by this gospel. And you think of the differing backgrounds. We come from different parts of the world. We come from different racial and national backgrounds. We come from different educational levels, different financial strata, different social status. But the gospel has reached your heart and your heart and your heart and your heart. Marvelous. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to everyone who believes. It's a great thing. You never give up on anyone. And if you are praying about a loved one and you've been praying about them for years, you keep praying. The gospel is the power of God. And there's no one beyond the power of God to save. What a gospel. God calls His elect from all kinds of people. Now, Paul summarizes to say why he is not ashamed of the gospel. To say in verse 17, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel is the power of God, and in the gospel, in the message of the book of Romans and all of Scripture, and we'll be revealing what the gospel is as we work through the book. In that gospel is a righteousness from God revealed. And mainly revealed in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revealed and provided. And he brings up this subject here because people need to know about this. And it's right and proper that there is a righteousness by faith, and not by human good works or by keeping the law of Moses. No, there is a righteousness that is revealed in Christ and provided by God. And this is a righteousness that He gives. God gives this righteousness, and it's a righteousness that's revealed in a very active way. It's active and dynamic, and it's brought to bear upon sinful men. It has a saving effect and a saving power, and it's not a passive revelation. When God says there is a righteousness revealed, It is not a passive thing. It's not something that God is trying to give people, but He can't get them to accept it. It's a righteousness that is very active and efficacious in the life, and God brings it to bear upon our life and creates faith so that we receive it by faith. And many of you know that this verse 17 here is the pivotal truth that brought about the Protestant Reformation. That is, Martin Luther had the assignment of teaching Romans to his students in the University, I think, of Wittenberg. As he was studying, a great truth came to him about how we are made righteous and how a human being can be righteous before a holy God. How does that come about? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, and not by going through the system he was in, but by faith. That by simple faith in the gospel, we are made right with God and we have His righteousness. It's not by law, not by works, and not out of ourselves. And he says here, it's by faith from first to last, or faith to faith. I think that simply means that the Christian life is faith all the way, from the beginning right on to glory. And the just will live by faith, which means that we live by trusting God. The Christian life is begun in faith by trusting God, and it continues today by trusting God, and it will be completed in glory by trusting God, and there will never be any other way. It's by faith and faith alone that we are made right with God. And faith is the evidence that you are made right with God, that you have the salvation of God. Now, many people believe that faith is the cause. Faith is not the cause of our salvation. Faith is not the cause of our regeneration. As we are dead in sin, we have no life. And we do not have faith. God regenerates us, creates faith within us, and we respond to the Lord. And that faith is the evidence that the content of the gospel has been brought to bear upon our life, and we respond to God. What a great truth. I am not ashamed of the gospel because of its author, God Himself, because of its aim to salvation, because of its ability, it's the power of God, and because of its appeal to the Jew and to the Gentile. And today, in our day, we need to penetrate society around us with this gospel message, unashamed, boldly, confidently, with no secret Christians, to let it be known, never be ashamed, to be able to say, no, I can't go there with you, and I cannot engage in that activity because it does not meet the standard of the Christian life. I need to say yes to worship because He's worthy. Yes, I will obey. Yes, I will serve the Lord in the face of laughter and ridicule. Never be ashamed. God help us to join with Paul in this text of Scripture that the truth is in our life. And we can say we will not be ashamed today, this afternoon, and tomorrow because of the greatness of the gospel.